Hello, and welcome to NPR's Planet Money podcast. This is Laura Conaway. Today is Wednesday, September 24th. It's about 5:37 in the evening. And as you've probably heard, Republican Senator John McCain, the GOP presidential nominee, has announced that he is going to suspend his campaign. He's going back to Washington to try to work on the White House's proposed $700 billion bailout bill for Wall Street. That bill has been getting an awful lot of pushback in Congress as it has gone on, with the Democratic side asking for a cap on executive pay for bankers and asking for protection for homeowners involved with bad mortgages. Democrat Barack Obama, who's also in the Senate with McCain, has announced that he is going to continue with his campaign. Earlier today, Alex Bloomberg and Adam Davidson sat down with Democratic Representative Brad Miller of North Carolina, and they asked him what it was like to be in Congress right now and dealing with a Friday deadline, essentially, for trying to pass this bill.
There's been a lot of talk about the sort of dire consequences if this bailout package is not passed and passed quickly. Do you know about the specific scenarios, these nightmare scenarios? Has anybody explained to you specifically what will happen if this is not passed? Like, what is the worst-case scenario here?
It's been described as potentially pretty cataclysmic. I understand that Ben Bernanke said that if things went the way he feared they would go, nobody would talk much about the Great Depression anymore. And I fundamentally believe it. I know that we're dealing with an administration that has not been entirely truthful, and we're dealing with an industry that for the last year and a half has been saying, there is no problem, there is no problem, everything's under control, move along, nothing to see here. Oh, my God, the world is going to end tomorrow.
And we need $1 trillion.
And we, right.
Right.
So there are two. There's the Bush administration and an industry, both of which have real credibility problems. But despite all that, I do believe we're in pretty dire circumstances.
There's a visceral reaction, though, to the solution being proposed, which is, here are these people. They don't look like the rest of America at all. They have many houses, many cars,
right,
billion-dollar salaries. They got us into this mess by behaving sort of, you know, by making bad loans, bad decisions. And now the only way – and they've put us all at risk. And the only way to get out of it is to loan them $700 billion, to give them almost $1 trillion. Like, so to give the same people who got us into the mess the money to get us out. And I'm not saying that that's not do you – share that visceral, like, that just doesn't seem fair solution, you know?
Oh, do I ever. Yes, and they seem to be completely clueless of how they are seen by a very significant percentage of their fellow citizens. I mean, they are making demands about what will be in the bailout package. They're drowning. It's entirely their own fault they're drowning, and they're making demands about what kind of rope we have to throw them. And I don't think they have any sense at all of how Americans are reacting to it all.
You're saying this is a massive crisis.
Yeah.
And you do believe this is the worst. It sounds like you believe this is the worst financial crisis maybe potentially ever.
Since October 29, at the very least, yes.
Yeah, of 1929. But you don't want to take this action, is that right?
I don't want to come out of this with an industry as crooked as the one that got us here. If we spend $700 billion rescuing this industry, I want some real reforms. I don't want to come back and find in 5 years or 10 years that they have created some other massive problem. I want to reform the industry and make sure that this doesn't happen again. And what happened here fundamentally is it wasn't just that they were inadvertent. They intentionally designed mortgages that homeowners couldn't pay so that the homeowner would have to refinance. So homeowners would be caught in a cycle of borrowing and would gradually lose the equity in their home as house prices appreciated to the whole financial services industry, all the people who were involved in all these lending practices.
You think that was a deliberate choice?
I feel morally certain that it was a deliberate, yes, it was a deliberate decision.
Everybody that you talk to, are they in agreement that something must be done and that this is, you know, as...
Are
there people that say, you know, maybe doing nothing is the best of a bunch of bad options here?
There are bad options. I'm not sure if Congress will pass it or not. There is a lot of outrage on the Democratic side of the aisle that we are helping people who are as undeserving as anyone you can imagine, who really are in dire circumstances, not because they're trying to make an honest living by providing a necessary service, but by trying to make a killing by cheating middle-class Americans out of the equity in their home. On the Republican side, there is an outrage at spending $700 billion and getting more involved in industry. It doesn't fit the theory, the Republican theory, and some are even calling it socialism.
Mm-hmm. And to talk about your own, like, I mean, is there, are you personally, do you feel this, like, sort of heart-mind divide, like, God, I guess we have to do this, but I don't want to do this? And or talk about your own internal emotional conflict about what to do here.
Sure, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do until the final vote is to push for as much reform of the industry as I can possibly push for. And then when the time comes that I put my card in the machine and decide how to vote on the floor, I'm going to decide whether there's enough reform in the bill or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's despite the fact that I do believe we are on the brink of a financial catastrophe.
And again, that was Congressman Brad Miller talking to NPR Planet Money people Adam Davidson and Alex Bloomberg. I also caught up with an economist, Raghu Rajan, who works out of the University of Chicago. He's the former chief economist of the International Monetary Fund. And last week, Dr. Rajan had told me that he thought that this bill, the $700 bailout bill, looked to him like a bit of election year politics, basically, that it was sort of thrown together with Republicans trying to look like they were in charge and Democrats trying to look like they were in charge, and that there might be other options. And Dr. Rajan said he still thinks there's time. At the time we spoke last week, the two sides were saying, we're going to work this out. Yes, we are. And we're going to do it by Friday.
Right. And it's getting pretty close to Friday, right? I think that the immediate urgency for action has sort of been taken off in part by the actions that the Fed and the Treasury have already taken, including, I think, guaranteeing the money market funds. The big concern last week was that there was a run on the money market funds, and the guarantees have stopped that run. And when the
government stepped in and said, we're going to extend insurance to money market funds the same way we do to savings deposits, basically.
Exactly. And the other thing that has happened is the two banks that were under greatest attack, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, have transformed into commercial banks and thereby solidified their links to the government. And that has bought them time also. So the immediate need has dissipated a little bit. Now, I would not say we're out of the woods yet. The cost of interbank borrowing is still unusually high, which suggests that banks don't trust each other, which is one of the rationales behind this plan. Let's try and remove the toxic waste from bank balance sheets so that they have clean balance sheets and they can trust each other again. So I would say that we have some time, but let's not think this problem has gone away. It hasn't.
So this idea that we're running out of time, what happens if we do nothing in the next week, a week from now? Still no plan has come forward from Washington.
Let me put it this way. Some things need to be done in short order in order to make these markets work again. If banks are worried about each other's balance sheet and unwilling to lend, That is a real problem and will affect economic activity over time. So that needs to be fixed. Otherwise, we might see more bank failures and we might see a fall in economic growth. There are other things where the fact that you're working on a plan and will come out with something in short order, a few weeks, maybe a month, not indefinite, can be enough to reassure the markets, right? So if you're saying, well, we're working on the details of the recapitalization, we don't have it done yet, but the banking system will be recapitalized, that will be good news also.
So you don't necessarily see the apocalypse if a bill isn't passed by Friday?
I would doubt that there would be the end of the world. I do think, however, that it would be good for Congress to say we're at work on something and we hope to do it very soon and offer some tangible evidence of progress.
And that was Dr. Raghu Rajan of the University of Chicago, an economist. And this has been NPR's Planet Money podcast. You can check us out at npr.org/money. You can follow us at twitter.com/planetmoney. And you can email us at planetmoney@npr.org. Take care.